One does not become enlightened by imagining figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious. So when we go into the forest, we go into the shadows. And the further we walk in, the less light permeates through the branches and the leaves. We're surrounded maybe by many centuried oak trees. We walk down moss-hung alleys. Maybe we see a crescent moon through the trees. And we meet creatures, maybe black and white cats, or maybe some creatures that we know and some creatures that are unknown, not expected. So Carl Jung's quote about making the darkness conscious is about acquainting ourselves with these creatures in the shadows. It's about making the universe alive, including the whole realm of our experience, not just the bright, shiny bits. Sangharakshita says, we are a part of nature. We are surrounded by all sort of natural forces and energies that are also present within us, and we cannot help feeling and experiencing them, even in the form of spirits and gods, of earth and sky. I'm going to lead us through three ways that we deal with our shadows and then move into using the system of practice, which I mentioned last night, as a mandala to examine some of our shadows. And then we'll transition into a cup of tea and a reflection led by Jimmy, where you can allow what I've said to settle. And also allow your mind to follow, you know, any parts that interest you, and allow that to happen in the talk as well. You know, I'm going to be saying quite a lot, but you can notice your own associations, you know, notice what things like work for you, what things don't, what things resonate, and what things don't. In Buddhism, there's lots of light imagery. You know, even the word enlightenment, it's quite ubiquitous. We talk about enlightenment quite a lot. And in the threefold puja that some of you are familiar with, we talk about the Dharma, the Buddha's teachings, leading us from darkness to light. So light is a universal symbol for knowledge and awareness, recognition. And this is really important, and it's not to be discarded. But it can be sometimes quite linear, the idea of moving from darkness to light. You know, we are here, but we want to get there. And it can sometimes be a bit binary, you know, this or that. And we can sometimes even get into, I know I have a tendency to do this, you know, right and wrong, better, worse, good, bad, that sort of thing. And this idea that things get better in a sort of progressive way. And one of the pitfalls of this viewpoint is that when things aren't so great or shiny or Facebook worthy, we think we're doing something wrong. But what if instead we saw enlightenment as awakening, this sense of waking up to different parts of ourselves, all these different parts of ourselves? And our purpose is not to make these things go away. Our purpose might not even be to transform these things into something else. The purpose is to engage with these things in a way that does not cause further suffering. I'd like to ask you to recall when you started to recognize a spiritual dimension to your life. So this may have been when you started meditating, but it might have been when you were a bit younger, maybe when you were an adolescent, or when your awareness started to broaden, you know, maybe when you learned about the concept of infinity, this idea that there's something beyond us, actually. There's something beyond this quite fixed idea of me and mine. Or maybe it happened even younger. Maybe something happened when you were 5 years old and you were staring up at the clouds and sitting so quietly that your mother thought you were lost and was walking up and down the streets calling your name, and you sat completely still, quiet and absorbed. Now, whether this happened to us when we were 5 years old or not, maybe we all know what that experience is like, where we dip into this deeper layer beyond our conscious left brain functioning, and we access this different mode of being. And the realm of the imagination can be in this realm, the realm of higher meditative states. And then so we can have these experiences, but at a certain point in our lives, and this probably wouldn't have happened when you were five, but you know, it might have done, we would have realized that actually everything isn't okay. Everything's not great. And maybe we start to notice that at some points in our lives, you know, we're not as happy as we'd like to be, or we don't have as many friends as we'd like to, or we don't have the connections that we'd like to. Or perhaps it's just that our mind is going a bit crazy and we can't make it stop. And at this point in our lives, in our spiritual lives, this is when we're over-identifying with our shadows. You know, we get consumed by them. We think we are them. We believe the voices in our heads. And this, again, this isn't a linear thing. Like, at some point we stop doing this altogether. But maybe there was a time when actually we didn't know any other way to engage with these darker aspects of ourselves. So some of you might know Portia Nelson's poem, Autobiography, in 5 chapters, where we fall down a hole. We walk down a street, we fall down a hole, but we can take no responsibility. We're incredulous, and it takes us a long time to figure out what's going on. But then at some point, we start to take responsibility for our mental states. We think, okay, so if I meditate, then I'm not as anxious. Or if I cultivate the opposite of irritation, I respond more kindly to myself and others. So we start transforming our experience, and we realize that actually we do have some influence on our own minds. We see that, okay, well, it's like this, but we learn that if we practice the metta bhavana or the mindfulness of breathing or ethics, then we can make it like this. And this is really exciting. You know, we can make a lot of progress here. You know, we can change our lives. And some of you might have already had experience of this, you know, how your life has changed since you started meditating, since you engaged more deeply in those different aspects of yourself and working with transformation. We can cultivate things that are helpful. We encourage compassion and awareness so that they grow. And we eradicate and let go of things that hold us back. Maybe we even guard the gates of the senses so that we prevent unhelpful situations or mental states from arising. And when we encounter a demon or a shadow, we cultivate the opposite, or we consider the consequence, or we do a ritual to transform it. And this is a really effective and important way of working with our darker sides. This is one way to do that.